night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
By the grace of Allah.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك
My dear viewers of Madani channel, mashallah, we also have our guest Ammar Madani Sahib. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him. Ammar, firstly, jazakallahu khairah for coming as usual. And then, we normally begin, don't we, by listening to the beautiful verses of the Holy Quran.
صلوا على الحبيب
صلى الله تعالى على محمد
صلى الله تعالى صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم القارعة ما القارعة وما أدراك ما القارعة القارعة ما القارعة وما أدراك ما القارعة القارعة ما القارعة وما أدراك ما القارعة يوم يكون كالفراش المبثوث وتكون الجبال كالعهن المنفوش فأما من ثقلت موازينه فهو في عيشة راضية
سبحان الله
وأما من خفت موازينه فأمه هاوية وما أدراك ما هي نار حامية آمنت بالله صدق الله العظيم
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم. Dear viewers of Madani channel, now as usual, after listening to the beautiful verses of the glorious Quran, we then go towards the Naat of Rasulullah صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم. MashaAllah, for this we have our Naat Khan from Pakistan. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم.
صلى الله عليه
رسول اللہ وسلم علیک یا حبیب اللہ. جینے کی طرف دیکھ نہ مرنے کی طرف دیکھ, جب چوٹ لگے دل کو مدینے کی طرف دیکھ. کیا بات مدینے کی, ساری دنیا کھاتی ہے خیرات مدینے کی. صلی اللہ علیک یا رسول اللہ وسلم علیک یا حبیب اللہ. شم میری سعادت ہے, تو شم میری سعادت ہے, عالم تیرا پروانہ, تو ماہ نبوت ہے, تو ماہ نبوت ہے, نبوت ہے آقا تو مانگے نبوت ہے, اے جلوہ جانانا گر پڑ کے یہاں پہنچا, مر مر کے اسے پایا, گر پڑ کے یہاں پہنچا, مر مر کے اسے پایا, چھوٹے نہ الہی اب, چھوٹے نہ الہی اب, سنگ در جانا تو شمع رسالت ہے, تو شمع رسالت ہے آقا, عالم تیرا پروانہ, پیتے ہیں تیرے در کا, کھاتے ہیں تیرے در کا, پیتے ہیں تیرے در کا آقا, کھاتے ہیں تیرے در کا, پیتے ہیں تیرے در کا آقا, کھاتے ہیں تیرے در کا, پانی ہے تیرا پانی, پانی پانی ہے تیرا پانی, دانا ہے تیرا دانا, پانی ہے تیرا پانی, دانا ہے تیرا دانا, تو شمع رسالت ہے, عالم تیرا پروانہ. اور وہ کہتے نہ کہتے کچھ, وہ کرتے نہ کرتے کچھ, وہ کہتے نہ کہتے کچھ, وہ کرتے سن لیتے کاش وہ سن لیتے مجھ سے میرا افسانہ اے کاش وہ سن لیتے مجھ سے میرا افسانہ تو شمع رسالت ہے تو شمع رسالت ہے آقا عالم تیرا پروانہ تو ماہ نبوت ہے تو ماہ نبوت ہے اسے فرما ویرا ہے دل نوری آباد اسے فرما کا ویرا ہے دل نوری آباد اسے فرما کا ویرا ہے دل نوری جلوے تیرے بس جائے جلوے تیرے بس جائے آقا جلوے تیرے بس جائے جلوے تیرے بس جائے آباد ہو ویرانہ جلوے تیرے بس جائے آقا جلوے تیرے بس جائے آباد ہو ویرانہ تو شمع رسالت ہے آقا تو شمع رسالت ہے عالم تیرا پروانہ تو ماہ نبوت ہے اے جلوہ جانانا ہر پھول میں بو تیری ہر شمع میں زو تیری پھول میں بو تیری ہر شمع میں زو تیری بلبل ہے تیرا بلبل بلبل ہے تیرا بلبل بلبل ہے تیرا بلبل پروانہ تو شمع رسالت رے تو شمع رسالت ہے عالم تیرا پروانہ تو ماہ نبوت ہے تو ماہ نبوت ہے جلوہ جانانا سرکار کے جلووں سے روشن ہے دل نوری سرکار کے جلووں سے روشن ہے دل نوری تاحشر رہے روشن روشن تاحشر رہے روشن نوری کا یہ کاشانہ تو شمع رسالت ہے آقا تو شمع رسالت ہے عالم تیرا پروانہ تو ماہ نبوت ہے جلوائے جانا نا
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وعلی آلہ وسلم. Dear viewers of Madani channel, for those of you that may have just joined us, you are watching Rise and Shine. Now, alhamdulillah, today we have Amarba here with us, a beautiful topic today. But before the beautiful topic, and yes, as usual, we do have our picture. MashaAllah, I received a lot of comments in regards to the pictures, Amarba, personally. You know, a lot of people saying, oh, you know, we really enjoy the pictures. So I'm just thinking, I can't remember receiving a reply from you.
About
the picture, you know, there's a lot of people say, yeah, we love the pictures, you know, we're trying to figure out what they mean, but none of them send their replies in. So my dear viewers, alhamdulillah, as well as the picture, Amarba, again, generally, what do you think of the picture anyway?
Pretty interesting, got a deep message, I think.
Deep message?
Yeah.
Do you think it's a change?
Yeah, well,
it is, isn't
to
it?
The normal theme that we give.
Yes, to the normal theme we give. Anyway, Amarba, our topic today is undoubtedly a brilliant topic. It is a, well, I'll let you introduce.
Bismillah. The topic today is the blessed personality of Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu ta'ala an, one of the greatest companions of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when we look at the blessed life of any of these companions or any of the pious predecessors rahimahumullahu ta'ala, one thing to keep in mind is we should always look at it from the angle of taking lessons. What can I learn from this personality's life? What can I learn from this great person's life? And so on and so forth. And take something on board. So as usual, whenever we discuss the seerah of any blessed individual, I think this is a message that I usually do try to convey to the audience, that try to look at it from that angle. You know, let's try to learn a few lessons as well whilst we're listening to the seerah of Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu anhu. So, but generally I think if we begin with the introduction of this great companion, the Khulafa al-Rashideen, or the four main companions, were the four initial khalifas, or the, you could say the kings in one sense of the Muslims. They were the leaders of the Muslims after the apparent demise of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And after Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he was the first Khalifa. After him came Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. After Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, it was Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So he was the third Khalifa or the Caliph.
This is also in order of greatness as well.
Yeah, and in terms of their status as well. So their Caliphate, or their time of Khilafah, and that was also in accordance with their greatness. So the first Khalifa is the greatest of the human beings after the prophets and the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. After him is the status of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. After him is Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu. Then Sayyidina Ali karamallahu ta'ala wajahul kareem. So the kunya of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu is Abu Amr. And one of his famous titles is Dhun Nurain. Dhun Nurain, the possessor of
Allah.
Two noors. I think the couplet you're referring to is Noor ki sarkar se paya doshada noor ka.
Allah.
Hum mubarak tumko Dhun Nurain joda noor ka.
Why do you just recite it in tune?
I think that would probably wait for another day. So, but this couplet of the great Imam, Imam Ahmad Allah Khan rahimahullah ta'ala, is
Allah
hinting
Allah
towards this fact as well, that Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married off one of his daughters to Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, then when she passed away, then he married his second daughter also to Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And now, with regards to Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, why are we speaking about him right now?
Yes.
The reason being is his martyrdom on 35th year of Hijrah, I think it was. It was in the on the 18th of Dhul Hijjah al-Haram. And he was, you know, he was martyred, and there's a whole, that incident itself, there's a lot to learn
yes.
from there. And so, if we look at the personality of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, one thing we've learned, Dhun Nurain, the possessor of two noors. Some other outstanding qualities that he possesses is that he is also Sahibul Hijratain. Sahibul Hijratain means he migrated twice. He left Makkah al-Mukarramah went somewhere else for the sake of Allah and the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to two different places. Because initially, now when we say hijrah or the migration, most people know about the hijrah from Makkah al-Mukarramah to Madinah al-Munawwarah. But even before that, there was the hijrah from Makkah al-Mukarramah to Habsha. He went, Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu went for, participated in that hijrah as well as the hijrah from Makkah al-Mukarramah to Madinah al-Munawwarah. So he's known as Sahib al-Hijratain, the person who migrated twice. And he's, one of his other famous titles is Jami' al-Qur'an,
Allah,
the compiler
Allah
of the Qur'an. So he, you know, this, he provided this ease for the Ummah, for the nation of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he realized when he saw that people, there could be a possibility of this dialects mixing and pronunciation and so on and so forth, that this could cause issues in the long run. So he compiled the Quran into one mushaf, one copy, and that is the one that he sent around, and that is the one that was spread, and that was in accordance with the pronunciation or the articulation that towards the latter part of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, when he would come and he would repeat the Quran with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it was in accordance with that pronunciation. So this is a great favor of his on the ummah as well. Jami' al-Qur'an, he's the compiler of the Qur'an, as in he's compiled it into this one book form. Another great, great attribute of his, which inshallah we will mention in detail as well if we get the time. I'm just trying to mention, give an overview of his blessed personality.
Oh, he is, mashallah.
And another great quality of his is his haya, his modesty.
I was just thinking and about that, Omar, but you've read my mind, subhanAllah.
Well, not really read it, I was just going to say it anyways. Haya, so his modesty is, you know, this is something that stands out in his character. You know, all the companions, radwanullah alayhim ajma'in, they're great, definitely. But each one of them has their own speciality as well. Something that, like, it is not to say that ma'adallah, the other companions don't possess haya, but haya stands out in the personality of Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu. Likewise, even his generosity and so on and so forth. So his haya, his generosity, and another great honor that he received, another great privilege that he received is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam declared his own hand as the hand of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, because Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu had been sent forward. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam placed his own hand, and he said, "This is the hand of Uthman." And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he placed his hand and he said, "This is the hand of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu," so in one sense, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed the bay'ah, the allegiance on behalf of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, the allegiance that he was to give to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself performed it on behalf of Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu. And
which means the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself has testified to the greatness of Hazrat Uthman
radiyallahu ta'ala an, subhanallah. And he's also from amongst those 10 individuals who were given the glad tidings of paradise. And in fact, he was given glad tidings of paradise at multiple points.
He purchased
paradise twice as well, at least I think it's mentioned in the narrations. So these are some of his blessed qualities that, and there are much more, but this would be a good overview of his great,
I think, one that really stands out is his, you know, like purchasing, meaning his wealth. That's
yes.
why it's also
and
known
his sadaqah
as Uthman al-Ghani.
Uthman al-Ghani, yeah.
The rich, I think he missed it out, or did he not?
Well, I guess
I think
so.
That's the most famous
I hinted
one
towards his generosity, but yes, I forgot to say that he...
Undoubtedly, he was given this title, and he's known. I think more people will know him as Uthman al-Ghani than Uthman ibn Affan.
Yes.
Yes, this is, mashallah, a brilliant introduction. Even if we were just to stop there, yeah. And let's pack up and go. But mashallah, that's, you know, is enough, isn't it? So these are the things we need to understand. And there were some which are really important. One, spinning in the way of Allah.
Spinning in the way of Allah.
This is one. Because nowadays, I was speaking to somebody yesterday, the day before, you know, for the past few days, you know, talking about, you know, the Muslims and, you know, where this, where that, etc. I said, look, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had already told us about all this. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has already told us about this, that, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that a time will come when, you know, people will call each other to come fight you the way they call each other to come and eat.
Allah.
You know, and a companion said that, is it due to, be, you know, qillatina, is it due to our being a small group? You know, us being less in number? But the Prophet ﷺ replied, no. But rather, you shall be greater in number. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall place wahan in your hearts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall place a wahan in your hearts. And then it was asked, Ya Rasulullah, what is wahan? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا وَكَرَاهِيَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Love for the world and dislike or fear of death. And this is what it is with us nowadays, is that we love the world too much to spend in the way of Allah. Really, we love the world so much that we are fearful to die. We are scared to die, we are scared of death. Really, do you know, if you ask anybody, most people, I remember once I was saying, Alhamdulillah, you know, yes, Alhamdulillah, you know, there are some people who do not love the world, you know, they have no love whatsoever for the world. And such individuals we can see, mashallah, Amir al-Sunnah.
Subhanallah.
Really, Amir al-Sunnah, really, is true, isn't it? We've seen in front of our faces, it's not something we're just saying, but mashallah, whoever watches Madinah, inshallah, they can see it. That he's an individual who, look how much he has. But yet, personally, he has nothing, in a way. You know, in terms of wealth, I'm speaking. You know, Amir al-Sunnah, he has nothing. He likes to have nothing. He chooses to have. There's also a difference, isn't there?
Yeah.
One individual, he has nothing. Another chooses to have nothing. This is the attribute of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
And this is, you know, this is a great sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well. In one sense, you could say that, see, the Amir al-Sunnah that Muhammad Qasim Ali is acting upon. That when we say that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he never had enough wealth gathered for there to be even zakat, the ruling of zakat to be applied. You know, so he never gathered.
Although
enough.
He possessed the keys of, you know, the heavens and the earth.
And this is mentioned in the hadith that Mafatih al-Ard or Mafatih al-Khazain al-Ard. Both riwayat are mentioned, I've been granted the keys to the earth or the keys to the treasures of the earth. So this is the status, but he once again, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his, you could say, financial situation or his whatever situation he was in, that was chosen as well. He chose to live like that. Otherwise, we find in narrations, he said that if I wished, you know, there would be mountains of gold around.
Yes, and you know, coming back to our topic, the Uthman ibn Affan radhiyallahu anhu.
And you know, if we look at when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was encouraging, because the Muslims, they were about to go into a battle and they had very small provisions, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was encouraging for support. And Sina Uthman radiallahu anhu, he initially stood up and he said, I would give 100 camels along with their saddles and all the other provisions. And then when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam continued to encourage, he stood up again and he said, I'll give 200 camels along with all the provisions. And then as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam continued, he stood up and he said that I would give 300 and along with the provisions. So then the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the narrator mentions that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stepped down from the mimbar, the blessed pulpit. He came down and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that from today on, whatever Uthman does, it will not harm him. Whatever actions he does, it will not harm him. And then when we look at the scholars, they say that even though Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, even if you to add all of this, 100 plus 200 plus 300, that's a 600 camels. But when it comes to it, he gave 950. And along with that, he gave 50 horses and 1,000 gold coins. And then on top of that, he added another 10,000 later on as well, 10,000 gold coins. So on one hand, he announced publicly
10,000 gold coins of
Muhammad. Yeah, and obviously it's very light.
I remember once I worked out the value, the equivalence. It's been a very long time. I'll have to check. But Allahu Akbar, 10,000 gold coins is millions, really millions and millions of, in that time.
And so publicly he's announced something. And then when it comes to giving, he
privately
gives even more. Privately he gives even more. On the one hand, when it comes to us, we announce something, but if we don't get the public recognition, even if we've given it, we want it back. And I think you've probably heard, many of the Mubalighin, the brothers that are involved in the Madani works of Dawat Islami, sometimes they will tell you that we went to such and such a masjid where before the Salatul Jum'ah, before the Jum'ah prayer, they have a big list of names, who's donated and who's not. And somebody, I heard once that somebody gave £5, but because their name was not mentioned in the list, they came back at the end and said, give me my £5 back, because you didn't mention my name. And that's the sad reality, that one is, we maybe have lost track of the reason for why we're giving sadaqah. And if we're giving sadaqah only to please the people, then that is not really sadaqah for the sake of Allah, is it? Because sadaqah, when you give sadaqah, you're saying, I'm giving sadaqah lillah, for the sake of Allah, ufi sabilillah. When it's for the sake of Allah, you, whether you give in private, whether you give openly, whatever the case is, your inner feelings don't change. You don't get excited because he has recognized you or you have given in front of him, and you don't feel sad if he hasn't said your name or announced your name. And you don't, likewise, you don't feel saddened when you're giving sadaqah in private. That is a big lesson for us, definitely, in terms of generosity and giving sadaqah. Another major lesson that we can learn from the life of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu an is haya. And I don't know if you want to move it on to the next segment.
Inshallah, so, we'll get to that once we've spoken about the haya of Hazrat Uthman ibn Affan.
Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu ta'ala an. So the great personality of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu an, his haya is clear, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he himself stated regarding Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu an, that he is such an individual that even the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala feel haya, modesty and shyness from Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an. And he's an individual where when we look at his haya, even in when he was alone, even in his privacy or his private life, Sayyidina Hasan Basri rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions that, explaining the extreme modesty and the haya of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu an, he says that the Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu an, if he radiallahu an had been in some room with the door properly shut, even then he would not put off his clothes for taking a bath, nor would he straighten his back out of modesty. So even in his private life, when he was all alone, he had extreme modesty, to the extent, like I've said, the Prophet ﷺ said that even the angels feel haya. And Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu an, on the one hand, we look at his haya and his respect, great amount of respect for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says that the hand by which I gave my bay'ah, the pledge of allegiance, in the blessed hand of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I have never touched my private parts with that hand after that. And Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu an, this is a very, very big message for us, what I'm about to mention now, mentioned in Hilyatul Awliya. This is something for us to ponder over. He says that, I swear by Allah Azza wa Jal that I never committed fornication during the pre-Islamic era of ignorance. During the time and the days of Jahiliyyah, the time of ignorance, I never committed fornication, nor have I committed it after embracing Islam. And likewise, when we look at the lives of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anh, the life of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anh, and these great companions, we find, even though during the days of ignorance and jahiliyyah, alcohol and these things were so common, but these great individuals, they never went near alcohol, they never went near fornication. These things that were so widespread in the society, yet they avoided those. And now we have the teachings of Islam that have clearly reached us, preventing us from alcohol, preventing us from these things. But unfortunately, sometimes we see brothers involved in this, they're consuming alcohol, they're taking drugs. And these are things for us to ponder over, that these great personalities who are our role models, who look up to, whom we feel blessed when we say their names. And these are the individuals, even before the Islamic teachings arrived, even before that, they just had the intellect given to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where they realized that this is not the right thing to do, and this is something that leads a person to lose his respect And his sanity in some cases. So this is something for us to take on board and learn as well.
SubhanAllah. Many viewers of Madani Channel, you are watching Rise and Shine. Alhamdulillah, Azzurrah, each and every single day. We have a few segments. The first segment is a reminder of the day. Let's go to this segment and let's see what we have today. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Prophet of Allah, Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salam, once told Jibreel alayhi salam that he wished to see the greatest worshipper of the world. Jibreel alayhi salam took him to a person whose arms and legs were severely decayed and separated from the body because of leprosy. Despite being in such a condition, the man uttered these words, Ya Allah Azza wa Jal, you benefited me from these body parts as long as you willed, and took them back when you willed. I pinned all my hopes on your mercy. O my Creator, the attainment of your pleasure is the only aim of mine. Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salam said, O Jibreel alayhi salam, I asked you to take me to the person who offers salah and fasts. Jibreel alayhi salam replied, he was a worshipper of the same attributes before being afflicted with this illness. Now I have been ordered to take away even his eyes. Therefore, Jibreel alayhi salam pointed a finger at his eyes, causing them to come out of their sockets. But still the man uttered the same words, Ya Allah Azza wa Jal, you benefited me from these eyes as long as you willed, and took them back when you willed. O my Creator, I pinned all my hopes on your mercy. The attainment of your pleasure is the only aim of mine. Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam then suggested the worshipper, let's make dua together that Allah Azza wa Jal bless you with the eyes and limbs so that you worship Allah Ta'ala like before. The man replied, not at all. Jibreel alayhi salam asked, but why not? The man responded, if my Allah Azza wa Jal is pleased with this state of mine, then I don't need health. Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salam said, indeed, I have not seen a greater worshipper than this man. Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam said, there is no path better than this for seeking the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. May Allah Azza wa Jal have mercy upon them and forgive us without accountability for their sake. Jai sona mere dukh vich razi, te main sukh nu julle paawa. If my Allah Azza wa Jal is pleased with my adversity, then I don't need any tranquility. Dear Sami brothers, from this story we learn, no matter what happens, no matter how big a trouble is, always remain patient. As it has been narrated by Sayyidina Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, the one who suffered a trouble in his wealth or life and then hid it and did not reveal to people, Allah Azza wa Jal has a right to forgive him. Subhanallah. And other narration says, whatever adversity a Muslim faces due to illness, worry, sadness, harm, or grief, even if he is pricked by a thorn, Allah Azza wa Jal makes this adversity a kafara for his sins. Subhanallah. There's a beautiful shair in Punjabi. Chup kar sein ta moti milsan, sabar karein ta heere, Pagla wangu rola paame, na moti na hire. Which means, if you are silent, gem is what you attain. If you are patient, pearl is what you gain. Like the insane, if you cry and complain, neither pearls nor gems you obtain. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to remain sabir, to remain patient all the time. Ameen, bijahi nabiyil ameen, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, alhamdulillah, you are watching Rise and Shine. Now, each and every single day, we have a new topic. Today's topic, today we are speaking about none other than Hazrat Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a great companion. You know, you mentioned his haya, you mentioned his monetary meaning in terms of his wealth, how wealthy he was. You mentioned how he has compiled the Quran. He was from the Ashara Mubashara, those 10 individuals who were promised paradise. You know, all of these, and especially more importantly, from the Khulafa Rashidun, you know, the greatest of individuals. Now, the question, Amarba, here, the important thing here is how often do these two attributes come together? One, being extremely wealthy, and the second, haya.
Allahu Akbar.
Really, Allahu Akbar. This is really something to think about. Because mashallah, yes, we find there's lots of mashallah, there's a lot of haya, but mostly amongst the poorer people. Whereas the richer people, generally, obviously we're not saying every single rich individual has no haya, no. But, you know, it takes money, doesn't it, to commit so many sins. And it is the majority of the time those people who are wealthy, who are rich, who have no haya. So this is one individual who has combined these two. They're not paradoxical, but totally, you know, opposite attributes. He has brought them together.
Allah.
One, being wealthy, extremely wealthy, more than you can imagine. And secondly, his haya. And another beautiful thing about this, Amar Bhai, is we're not referring to a woman. You know, when you think of haya and you think of a woman, you think of one person. You know, Hazrat Fatima al-Zahra radhiyallahu anha, you know, who was outstanding, who really stands out even from the rest. But this is a man, which means it's not, you know, you don't just think of hayan, you don't always just think of woman, that's a woman. No, it's also men, isn't it? You also mentioned about the fornicator, which Hazrat Uthman radhiyallahu anhu mentioned. So it's not just for the women when it comes to hayan, no, but all the brothers out there also. You know, haya is for each and every single
And the command
individual.
Of haya is there for both the believing men and the women.
Yes, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have so much haya also.
Allahu Akbar.
Undoubtedly, nobody can match him when it comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anyhow, we do have our next segment of the day. The next segment is the daily hadith. For this, we have mashallah Abdullah Bhai. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dear viewers of Rise and Shine, time is a great blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon each and every one of us. But one thing to bear in mind is that we are bound by time. We only have a set amount of time in this world, be it in the days of numbers that we have or the breath that we shall take. Considering this, we can begin to understand how valuable and precious our time is. As once it passes us, it shall never return. So what really matters is how we utilize and how we spend our time. Generally, as Muslims, we are well aware of how we should be spending our time. But from time to time, we do need a reminder. So inshallah, azawajal, in today's daily hadith, we will learn a way in which we can invest our time efficiently. Sayyidina Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu is the narrator. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said that whoever says Subhanallahil Azim wa bihamdihi, a tree will be planted for him in paradise. Subhanallah. A beautiful way this is. By this we are able to keep our tongue moist in the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also be assured that tremendous reward is being gathered and is awaiting us in Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us barakah in our time, and that is that we use our time efficiently in righteous acts. Ameen, bijahin nabil ameen. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. The viewers, the last and final, the most important segment of today, health is wealth. It's all about the health. You know, we need to fix our health, we need to become more healthy, look after our health, insha'Allahu azza wa jal. So for this reason we have health is wealth. Let's go to our last and final segment. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Amma ba'd fa'a'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir raheem. Dear respected viewers of Madani Channel, we welcome you in Silsila Rise and Shine. And segment is Health is Wealth. And we've got our guest today, Dr. Shehzad Hussain Ashrafi with us, who is a consultant and serving in one of the UK-based hospitals. Alhamdulillah, let's go towards him. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Asub, how are you doing? You okay?
Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal.
MashaAllah. First of all, thank you so much. Jazakallahu khaira for giving us your precious time. So, Doctor, today as I would like to ask the very first question, that what is actually stroke?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Stroke, as literal meaning, is a stroke, when something strike.
Right.
So what happens in a brain, there is an obstruction of a blood supply.
Okay.
Into one of the arteries. The arteries are the blood vessels which takes blood from heart to the brain.
Okay.
Now, because of the obstruction caused by either clot, mm-hmm. or it is caused by some other material like a cholesterol deposition, that breaks up from the artery and causes obstruction distally. This obstruction obscures the blood supply.
Okay.
Now, brain is very sensitive to oxygen. And when there is an obstruction of a blood supply, thus brain does not get oxygen. So because of the deprivation of oxygen,
right.
the part of the brain starts dying.
Okay.
There is one estimate that every minute, about 1.6 to 1.9 million neuron dies. The neuron is the cell of the brain. That's why this is
1.9 million
neurons. Yes, okay. 1.9 million neuron dies every minute when somebody has a stroke.
Oh, wow.
And the long-term changes, long-term recovery is time critical. So every 10 minutes delays in the treatment reduces chance of a better outcome.
And I've heard that it is one of the leading death cause across the globe, is it?
Yes, unfortunately. About, there is one estimate says that one person out of six people in the world will have stroke at lifetime.
Oh, significant.
About 25 million people have a stroke every year worldwide.
Allah.
And it costs economy billions of pounds and billions of dollars on a daily basis because of the stroke.
Doctor, is this disease quite recent, or it has got its history the back days when the medicine was not quite, developed, or it has just emerged nowadays because of different issues and problems?
So the going back the history of the disease, this disease has always been there.
Okay.
But because of our lifestyles changes,
yes.
There is a more prevalence of obesity,
yeah.
more prevalence of hypertension,
cholesterol,
diabetes, yes. cholesterol. These are all risk factors yeah. of this disease. So because of these trends in recent lifestyle modifications, this disease has prevailed more than before.
Lots of you are at home, and unfortunately, if somebody is experiencing or risks of stroke, how one can recognize?
Very important question. Sadly, many of the people presented very lately, in my experience, because they didn't recognize that they are having stroke, and thus they missed one of the important treatment, which is only could be given in the early hours of the stroke. So the best treatment, I'll start with the treatment part, right. Then it is easy to understand why this time critical presentation is very important. So when somebody have a stroke, if they present to the hospital within 4.5 hours,
okay,
there could be clot busters given.
Okay.
And outcome of those patients presented early are far better than somebody present late and are deprived of that treatment. So that's why it is very important that we recognize.
As soon as possible, you just take the patient to the hospital.
And across the world, particularly when there is a good integration of emergency services, this emergency has been put on the highest possible alert. So when somebody, for example, in UK, the emergency number is 999. Mm-hmm. When somebody dial 999 and say, I'm having stroke, the operator put them in the highest priority. And the ambulance is scrambled approximately in 5 to 7 minutes to the patient.
I see.
So that's very important. Now, how to recognize? There are few symptoms which are very easy to recognize and it's not difficult.
Yep.
So first symptom people might experience is they notice that the speech is impaired. So they might feel that they are unable to articulate,
right,
or they feel that the clarity of the speech is not as clear as they should be.
Right.
So they might lack in clarity and they would have slurred speech,
mm-hmm,
or they might feel that what they want to say, they are unable to say. That's the first symptom.
Okay.
The second symptom is there will be paralysis of the one side of the body. They might not be able to pick up something.
Okay.
That's a very mild symptom,
mm-hmm,
or they have a complete paralysis and they can't even move their arm.
I see.
So there is loss of power into the arm.
So something is happening to your mouth or something is happening to your arm.
Or leg. So these are, or sometimes there will be flattening of the one side of the face.
Okay.
So the angle of the mouth could be drawn, and this
dropped.
What we see, this fold, what you call nasolabial fold.
Okay.
This will become flat.
Right.
And usually they are coincide with the arm weakness. Okay. Or sometimes people might not be able to see one side.
Okay.
So these are the common symptoms. There are other symptoms which are not so common but important to recognize, is unable to walk on a straight line. So sometimes people might feel that they have a tendency to lean one side and they start falling over.
Okay.
Or they feel as if, nauzubillah, somebody has drunken and been intoxicated.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody has that perception, that might be also a symptom of a stroke. Or sometimes not easily recognizable is they lose one eyesight,
okay,
and they are unable to see anything from that one particular eye.
Right.
Now, how to recognize that there is a problem in the one eye? You close the other eye.
Okay, and then see.
And then see whether you are able to see or you are unable to see. That's difference in terms of many of the stroke have symptoms of not able to see one side, where both of the eyes are affected. So that is a stroke of a brain, but where there is a problem in the eye, that is a stroke of the eye. When you close one eye, you are unable to see.
Okay.
So in summary, unable to speak or difficulty in speaking.
Okay.
Lacking clarity of a speaking.
Having problem in the arm.
Coordination problem, unable to pick something, unable to button the shirt. Yes. Unable to pick something, unable to cut the food.
Or complete paralysis.
Unable to walk, or walking as if somebody has been intoxicated. Or somebody feel as if they have lost sensation on the half of the body.
I see.
These are the very common symptoms of a stroke.
Sorry.
When somebody recognize the symptoms, the most difficulty is people feel that they will get away. And symptoms will improve. That hope actually worsening the outcome. So when you experience such symptoms, my advice to you is do not hesitate. Do not wait.
Don't delay.
Don't delay. Just call 999 if you are in the UK. Call 911 if you are in other Western countries. Right. Or it is an international emergency number. An ambulance should be sent immediately. That's most important thing. To recognize a stroke, because the treatment options are far better when somebody present to us immediately. Because the long-standing devastation of the stroke is far greater than people perceive normally. There are far more complications when somebody have a stroke.
Okay. MashaAllah. Dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, this topic is quite lengthy. We cannot definitely comprehend in one short segment. But definitely today we have given you a bit of awareness how to recognize stroke symptoms. Alhamdulillah, I hope that you must have benefited from this information. But definitely we will carry on with this topic of stroke, and in upcoming episodes and segments we'll talk more about it. So keep watching Rise and Shine Madani Channel, and inshallah we'll come back with another beautiful episode with another interesting and important information for you.
By the grace of Allah. By the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wasallam. Is stroke a marbai? Sadly, we don't have enough time to speak about that now. The time has come for the end. We shall be leaving Namadi viewers. Don't forget, we will be back. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wasallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end and the sun will rise.